VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Christian Will Hill here with you. We're rolling into the final hour of the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. We may get to some pucks a little bit later on. I know that a couple of games in the NBA, a couple of games in college basketball that are of interest. We have crossed over into the month of March. And, Will, I know that everybody gets into betting the NCAA tournament, right? But this is really your lane when it comes to college basketball. What is your level of sort of excitement, conference tournament compared to the national tournament?
Ooh, that's like asking me to choose between my children. I don't even know. The games are higher stakes in the NCAA tournament. From a better though, there's just so many games, conference tournament week. And really, conference tournament week is really kind of like 10 days, and it starts tomorrow, but it starts slow. Monday, a couple game here or there. Tuesday, Wednesday, game here or there. By Thursday, so I would say that Thursday to like Saturday, but because by the time you get to Saturday, Sunday, you've really eliminated a lot of the conference tournaments, and there's only a handful. So there's that like 9-10 day stretch, though, where there's just so many games on it. It's heaven. And if you're ever looking for a time to go to Vegas, conference tournament week is as good as any, because you wake up, there's a game on 8 o'clock local time. You go to bed, there's those West Coast conference games. There's games on all the time. So I say from the volume of games, and I didn't always feel this way, the conference tournaments to me are slightly above NCAA tournament week, although it's close and I absolutely love both.
Well, first of all, I'm jacked up that you said that, because next weekend I will be doing my part of the show from the Circa Studios, because we are going to Vegas next weekend for the numbered UFC event. It's also like a kid's birthday promise or whatever from my wife. So I have to try to manage costs and make sure it doesn't get crazy. But I'm going to be in Vegas next weekend. And I here's what it is for me, Will. I guess part of the reason why I ask is, for someone like you who is an expert college basketball handicapper, I guess I kind of asked that question in the vein of, is there more opportunity for the informed bettor in these conference tournaments because there's just more choice of games? You can hone in on a conference or you can react on the fly. Whereas I feel like with the NCAA tournament, here's your 68, here you go. You may not like all the games. There's just so much gross tonnage with the conference tournaments that's where I feel like the real value is in March. Or am I just a nut job?
No, look, it's all great. It's all fun to bet on, but you do bring up a good point with just the sheer volume of the conference tournaments.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, but let's turn to the National Hockey League right now, because the pucks are back. We have the Olympics are over. We are now back to our normal NHL kind of algorithm. And joining us now is Jonathan Davis, host of Ice Cap on SiriusXM and VSiN NHL betting analyst. Jonathan, I am Andy Gresh. He's Will Hill. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Andy, a pleasure to be with you. And Will, always great to chat. Been a while.
Jonathan, have teams reacclimated themselves now that the Olympics are over with, or is that still a process that's going to take maybe another week or so?
Yeah, I think it's a process. I mean, you've had some teams like the Vegas Golden Knights, didn't have any of their five Olympians play in their first game, yet they won, and then had their five Olympians for their next game in Washington, and then they lost. It's been a bit of a mixed bag, to say the least. I think teams that have had more Olympians, it does take a little more time. But there are some trends that have stuck with us, and we'll get to those in a minute.
JD, when you're looking at the futures market, if you're looking for a team to take a shot on to win the whole thing, is there any value, or is it too late in the season where you just wait to the playoffs and you go round by round? What are your thoughts big picture here in terms of a future bet if you had to make one?
Well, you know, Will, one future bet that I made yesterday or the day before, the Anaheim Ducks to win the Pacific Division at +425. They've got the second easiest remaining schedule amongst all teams in the NHL. They're just a couple of points back of the Golden Knights. They're in a really good spot. I that's one of my favorite plays right now for a future bet in the NHL.
What do you have working today, Jonathan, if anything?
Well, I think there's a lot of good stuff. You know, you can start with the Vegas Golden Knights, who are in Pittsburgh. And the way I approach this game, look, I think this is a game that Vegas should win quite easily. The Penguins are coming off a tough loss against the Rangers on Saturday. I don't like the price on the money line, but the way I approach this one, a couple ways. One, Vegas money line, and parlay that to the under 6.5, and you can get that at about +183. And part of the reason for targeting the under 6.5, one, is that these two teams do play a lot of low-scoring games against each other. But there's a trend that I found earlier in the season, and that is that games on Sunday, for whatever reason, that start before 8 p.m. Eastern are 46-19-3 to the under.
Speaking of totals, the Blues and the Wild are -245 favorites. The total is 6.5. Do you have any feel here with the total? And is there a trend here with these Wild totals that better need to know about?
Oh, yeah, there is. And this is a game that, although it does start before 8 p.m. Eastern, there is no way that I am getting in front of the Minnesota Wild and their overs. Guys, they are on a 21-2 run to the over. Both their games out of the break went over. Now, you know, we always talk about shop around. There are sixes out there. I would definitely be looking at the over six in this game here. No way I'm getting in front of this Minnesota Wild team that, they've been flying over the total.
Jonathan, is there a team right now that is just starting to maybe rise up to hit their peak a little bit? Is there a team that is kind of lurking out there that you're going to keep an eye on as we head towards the playoffs?
Well, I was kind of hoping it'd be the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are on quite a run before the Olympic break, and they've stumbled and they've got a really good shot at making the playoffs. But yeah, I think that I would say another team in the East that's I think is better than their record shows is the Ottawa Senators. They're on the outside looking in, but I would target them to make the playoffs. And I think the Pittsburgh Penguins, I bet them at +250 yesterday to miss. They're without their star player, Sidney Crosby. He's gone for at least a month. They're a far different team without Sidney. So I would look at the Ottawa Senators to make the playoffs, and a team that, you know, was in there last year, got eliminated by Toronto in the first round. But I like the way this team is built, and I think they're going to still add.
How about Panthers Islanders? Panthers -150 favorites here in Long Island, total 5.5. Do you have any thoughts on this game? Are the Islanders a team that has a run in them here down the stretch?
I'm not sure if they necessarily have a run in them. I don't think the Panthers do either, but I do think it's a good spot for the Panthers who get to face the Islanders' backup goalie, David Riddick. I would be on Florida. But I will say, you know, look, it's not one of my favorite games on the board. One of my other favorite games, guys, is the Utah Mammoth hosting Chicago. And Utah, look, they're about a -$3 favorite. So no way you can target that. But what I would do with that game is I would parlay the Utah money line with their defenseman, Mikhail Sergachev, over 1.5 shots on goal. That brings the price down to -115. Sergachev has had at least 2 shots on goal at home in 22 of his last 27 home games. The Blackhawks give up the second most shots to defensemen in the NHL. That is definitely one of my favorite plays, and a couple of props in this one. And there are players further down the board for Utah, but Kyler Yamamoto of the Utah Mammoth, he's got 3 goals in 3 games against Chicago goalie Arvid Soderblom, who's starting today, and Michael Carcone, 4 goals in 4 games against Soderblom. You can get both those players at over 4-1 to score a goal today.
JD, we've only got a minute here, but is it Nathan MacKinnon for the Hart Trophy and nobody else? Does Kucherov or McDavid at plus money have any chance of stealing that trophy away from MacKinnon?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for me, Kucherov absolutely has a shot at taking that, you know, especially, you know, we'll see where he finishes in the scoring race. But guys, if the San Jose Sharks can find their way into the playoffs, Macklin Celebrini is the Hart Trophy winner. No ifs, ands, or buts, in my opinion. I got him at plus 750 before the Olympics. I put more down on it at plus 450. If San Jose's in, this Celebrini would define what the Hart Trophy means in any sport to be the most valuable player.
Great stuff. Jonathan Davis, host of Ice Cap on SiriusXM, VSiN NHL betting analyst. Jonathan, great stuff. Good nugget there in the end. Really appreciate the time. Thanks a bunch, and we'll see you down the road.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Boy, how about that, Will? A little bit of you could jump on somebody at plus money right now for the Hart Trophy, even though MacKinnon has been leading this thing really from the jump and and very much the start of the regular season. So we've been talking some college basketball. Who's going to win it all? We don't even know who the number one seeds are completely. We don't know who all four are going to be yet. But can we come up with a winner? I know there's one team that a lot of people are in on. I'm liking them as well. We will get the thoughts of the expert, Will Hill, coming up next on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
If you ever want to yell at us on social media, it is very easy to do so. I'm at The Real Gresh, and Will Hill is at not the Will Hill. Throw an extra E in there to make sure you are yelling at the right Will Hill if you choose to do so on social media. As we have now turned the calendar to March, we know that the conference tournaments will be underway very soon. In 2 weeks, we will have the full NCAA tournament bracket in our hands. And, well, that leads us to look at the odds in terms of who is going to win the NCAA tournament. Now, Will, it's interesting because I know for me, in looking around on a couple different sports books that I have access to in my area, I've got one where they're saying to me, is there a number one seed that's going to win the tournament or a number two seed that's going to win the tournament? And as we look at these odds, okay, if the automatic assumption is that Michigan, Duke, and Arizona are number one seeds, and then it's either UConn or Florida. So let's say UConn gets the number one seed. They're likely to win the Big East tournament. So is there any real advantage in terms of thinking who's going to win the tournament between having Michigan, Duke, Arizona, and UConn compared to having Florida, Houston, Illinois, or maybe let's say Iowa State? Is there a big difference in your opinion between the ones and the twos in this upcoming NCAA tournament?
I do think there is. I do think all of the ones can win it. I'm not sure all the twos. I think they could win it, but it seems like not that it's a stretch, but there's a gap between the ones and the twos. The one that'll be interesting, and we've talked about a little bit, I think the three ones are pretty much locked in stone: Duke, Arizona, Michigan. And then the battle for the final one, I think, comes down to UConn and Florida. UConn only has three losses. Florida has six. And UConn beat them head-to-head. So I know Florida, they can pick up some marquee wins in the SEC tournament. The SEC is a lot better than the Big East. I get all of that. But that will probably factor into your calculations here. And without seeing those odds of, like, will the one seed win it? Will the two seed win it? You have to kind of parse or, you know, factor in where you think those teams are going to land and where you want a part of or who you want a part of, because you know, if you want to make the bet on the two seed to win it, why don't you just take Florida, that kind of thing? Or if you think UConn's going to be a two and you think they're going to win it, why don't you just take them? Because to me, Houston, Iowa State, Illinois, yeah, it's possible, but it's just seeming less and less likely the more I watch these really elite teams.
Hey, you wrote about this on FoxSports.com. Michigan is like 152nd in the country shooting free throws. That is normally an NCAA tournament death blow. So how have you reconciled that the free throw inefficiency to still thinking that they could go win the whole thing?
Very, very important to keep an eye on. Now, they shoot like 73%. It's not awful, but it's definitely not a strength. And, you know, it's an important thing to look at, too, when you're looking at these teams. Do you at least have a couple guys that can knock them down? And it matters for the conference tournaments. It matters for the NCAA tournament. Do you have somebody where, hey, I'm up three, I'm inbounding the ball. Do I have one or two guys I can throw the ball to that are nails at the line that shoot 88%? As long as you have one or two of those guys, you can survive the guys that are lesser. But yeah, it's certainly a weakness. Now they've been able to overcome it. They've been so dominant defensively, offensively. The threes come and go, but they're such a loaded team that the free throws haven't really affected them. But that is something you do want to keep an eye on because, as we know, for the most part, even though UConn defied this rule and contradicted what I'm about to say, you don't just roll through the tournament unscathed without any close calls. You need to win some close games. You need to make your free throws a lot of times, although – like I said, UConn went two tournaments without anybody putting a glove on them. But yeah, free throws in free throw percentage, something that's very important to keep an eye on.
That Florida plus 900 is calling me. I think just because it's a great number relative to if Michigan, Duke, and Arizona are the top, and yes, they're all at plus money at 330, 350, and 475 respectively. If you're really looking for the value, to me, Will, that's Florida or UConn. Now, again, UConn making the Final Four versus thinking about UConn winning the whole thing. Now, I think that's probably two separate discussions. But as I just look at it, and even Houston at 11-1, you know, I just look at Houston. Now, here we go. In terms of making the Final Four, UConn is plus 320. And Florida is plus 175, you know, and you look at them to win the whole thing. Florida's plus 900 to win the tournament. UConn is 16-1 to win the tournament. And those Final Four odds obviously shrink down a little bit, but I mean, you're telling me Florida and UConn are plus money to make the Final Four. I know they got to beat one of those big boys in Michigan, Duke, or Arizona, but boy, that is calling me right now.
Yep, I do not disagree. The UConn plus 320 to make a Final Four is an attractive price. And as far as odds to win it all, I'm with you. If you just gave me a $100 free bet or $100 to bet on this market, mm-hmm. and you said use it on one team, or I'll cheat kind of and I'll use it on two teams, I'd probably put half on Florida at 9-1 and half on UConn at 16-1. And you know what? If you get to a Final Four or you get to a title game, you can hedge. You don't have to win the whole thing. When you're at 9-1 or 16-1, you just get to the final, and then you can figure out a way to monetize it from there. But to me, those are the teams, the bang for your buck. UConn at 16-1 with Hurley, who's such a good tournament coach. And you know, I go back to a quote, Matt Eumanns said something the other day that he reminded me of a Rick Pitino quote from a couple years ago about UConn. He said, once they get out of Big East play, nobody's beating them. Now, this was 2 years ago. They had Kling and they had different guys. He said, their offense is so intricate, so complicated. You can't stop it the first time you see it. You need to see it two or three times before you have a chance to stop it. And, you know, they won two straight titles. They got in last year after a down year. They won a game, and they really had Florida beat, and Florida went on to win the whole thing. So Hurley as a tournament coach in a tournament setting, I would not count them out. I still like them at that number at 16-1. And we saw the other night at St. John's what they're capable of.
Yeah, he's I had an old timer when Dan Hurley was at URI. There was a 95-year-old crusty old, you know, coach from back in the day. Now, I like Hurley because he coaches with grit and balls. And you know what? That is UConn. Like, they are gritty. They are ballsy. They are tough. They really wear you down. They're not going to be the team that's going to out-talent you per se, but they're going to outwork you. They're going to out hustle you. And their coach is, you know, a semi-legitimate crazy person on the sidelines who is pushing all of the buttons on a team that, you know, I wonder if the mantle of boy, I love them come NCAA tournament time might be shifting a little bit from Michigan State to UConn, right? Because the Big East is down a little bit. People still respect UConn same way that they would respect Michigan State, but everybody's interest would start to pick up in each of those teams whenever we would get to NCAA tournament time. Is there anybody with big odds, Will? Like Kansas is 25-1. Purdue was thought to be one of the best teams in the country. They're at 35-1. Is there anybody with big odds that are even worth a look-see? Like, can St. John's put it together and go on a run given the talent they have?
They probably don't shoot it well enough. If you made me pick one of these non-obvious teams at longer odds, mm-hmm. I probably would have said Arkansas yesterday, but the way Arkansas got drilled, maybe they're taking everyone off their scent, but they've got a lot of talent in the backcourt. But man, that was a concerning performance to say the least Saturday night in Gainesville. Tennessee, they rebound well. They had a bad loss Saturday themselves at home against Bama, but Tennessee rebounds. I don't really trust Rick Barnes in March, but I mean, you're talking about 70-1. So it'd be St. John's or Tennessee if I had to take a flyer on either one of those teams, but Not cutting in line to bet either one of those. Let me ask you before we go to the break, when you were around Hurley at URI, did you have any clue, any sense that he would turn into this kind of a juggernaut of a coach?
Kind of, because I know the resources at URI aren't great and they would be at UConn. And from people that I talk to down there, Hurley is just driven in a different kind of way. Like I kind of made the joke about, you know, being driven by a crazy person. And, you know, even relative to other college basketball coaches, Hurley stands out in that way. Hey, it's time for you to stop paying full price for gas. Download the free Upside app. Earn real cash back every time you fill up. It's quick, it's easy, and it actually adds up. Drivers are earning $200 to $300 a year just buying the gas they already needed. Use promo code Sunday for 25 cents back per gallon on your first tank and cash out anytime to your bank account or e-gift cards like Amazon. Download the free Upside app now. Use the promo code Sunday for a limited time 25 cents per gallon bonus. Offers vary by user and location. See upside.com for details. Colby Marchio joins us next here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
It is March. The calendar has turned. That means brackets, brackets, brackets everywhere. Conference tournament, NCAA tournament. Joining us now, MLB and college basketball betting analyst. You can find him on Twitter at Colby M. Betts. Colby Marchio is with us. Colby, I'm Gresh. He's Will Hill. Do I have to ask you the obligatory DePaul question to start the interview today?
Oh, do they play today? I must have accidentally just threw this all together. Whoops. No one else is going to talk about them. I'll talk about them. I went there. I love the school dearly. Fun fact, I'm biting my tongue telling people about this, but Friday I got a DM from a very special person in my life. His name is Chris Holtman. He reached out to me and said, "Hey, Colby, we're going to send you some stuff." And let me just say, I was fighting back the tears still this morning, and when he said, "We'll be sending you something shortly." I love the guy. I love everything he's doing for the university. It actually makes it worth getting up out of bed and being like, "Hey, I really want to watch a DePaul game." Because when I was there, we had, do you guys know NBA player Max Strus and NBA player Paul Reed? Well, they were on the same team together when I was at the university. And let me just say, Dave Leto still had us in the bottom of the Big East. So this is pretty damn cool. Dave Leto just really liked to chew his gum and chew his gum.
I think an old UConn assistant. And that's look, with the way the bubble is unfolding, you could do a lot worse than putting DePaul in the tournament with, you know, Auburn and some of these other teams. But speaking of the bubble, we've got two bubble games today. Ohio State at home catching points. They're on the outside looking in, according to Lenardi. Indiana at home catching points against Michigan State. They're on the inside looking out, according to Lenardi. Do you have any interest in either one of these games?
Yeah, I love both. Let's go to the Ohio State game first. I know a lot of people can't bet college basketball player props, but I really like this one. I feel like the alternative is just taking Ohio State because I really like Bruce Thornton over 19.5 points. Averaging 21 points per game at home, averaging 19 points per game at home in conference. Ohio State is very, 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 very good at home attacking the glass or attacking the glass. Yeah. They're seventh in 2-point percentage offense. Purdue on the road is 183rd in 2-point percentage defense in conference, sixth in defensive three-point percentage D. Excuse me, can't talk. Coffee's hitting me hard right now. Seventh in 2-point percentage defense in conference. Bruce has been there for 4 years, four-year starter. He's one of the best players on the team, if not the guy. He's a juggernaut offensively, and when he's humming, he's going to score 25-plus. If not, he's going to score 10. I think he scores more than 20 today. So if you want to ladder that, go for it. I think Bruce has a really good game today.
Michigan State, Indiana, where's your lean on that? At what point do you start to, like a lot of people around this time of year, see the name Michigan State and start to think, nah, it's March. I don't want to bet against them.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Izzo guy. I do really like this team. I think they're gritty, but they have a lot of red flags that turn me off. I'm on Indiana today on the points. I think I got 3.5 yesterday. I just think Michigan State collapses after a big win at Purdue. Indiana, I thought, was going to be a lot better. Early on, they were a juggernaut. They have former DePaul player Connor Enright, who was the glue last year. That's the nickname I gave him. I think he's a very good guard. And I think... If you're scared about this game, take Indiana in the first half, but I got the full game. I think Indiana keeps this one close today.
Colby, 2 weeks from now, we get the bracket. Do you have a team in mind that you think, once we see the bracket, you'll be advancing farther than everyone else, kind of a sleeper team?
I don't even know if this is a sleeper team. I took them yesterday at 11-1 to win the Natty because I couldn't pass up on that price, and I've been pretty high on them over the last couple of weeks, and that's Florida. They're number two team since January on Bart Torvik behind Duke, who's plus 350 to win it all. I think the price, if you could go and get 10-1 or better, go take that right now because you're just getting an unbelievable price. Number two defense since January 1, number seven offense since January 1. They've endured the seventh toughest schedule. They're 11-4 against top 50 teams. Their last loss was Missouri on January 3. I mean, if you're going to compare Duke in the ACC and the SEC, I think Florida is more prepared for March than any team Duke has played in the ACC. Maybe that's my SEC bias because I just love SEC basketball and SEC football. You can throw stones at me, whatever. That's just my take. I think Florida, for the price, is well worth it. I know Michigan, Duke, Arizona, all those other teams, Houston, they're still good teams, but the price isn't there for me. And I just think Florida right now is a steal at 11-1.
I'm going to hit you with a Will Hill type question here, okay? You have $100 to place on only Michigan, Duke, or Arizona to win it all. Where are you putting that free $100 on?
Probably Michigan. I mean, Duke, I love John Shire, Chicago guy, of course. Obviously, I love John Shire. And I don't know what it is about them. I think I just really don't like the ACC conference. I don't think it's that great. I don't think they're getting anybody ready for March. Michigan, the Big Ten is a juggernaut, just like the SEC. Michigan is just too damn good. Arizona, I do like them. I think losing Caleb Love is the greatest thing that's ever happened to this program. But I lean real heavy with Michigan out of those three.
Colby, let's switch gears here. World Baseball Classic starts pretty soon here. It's hard for people because they don't maybe understand the format, the restrictions with the pitching. Can you give everyone just a couple minute tutorial on how you're betting the World Baseball Classic, what to look for, and what bets you ultimately landed on here?
Yeah, I haven't bet anything. I looked at everything and I really didn't like any prices. I think it's gross. I just think it's going to be USA versus Japan. So if you want to find value and chase value on a good team, it's Japan. I mean, is that going against our country? Not really, in my opinion. Do not touch the Dominican. I know it's a sexy name. I know there's a lot of sexy names in that lineup, but go and look at that rotation. I'll read it off as I have it right here on my phone. Oh, Sandy Alcantara, not good anymore. Brian Bello, that's not getting me out of bed. Oh, and Luis Severino. Who is putting fear into somebody else? Nobody. Nobody in that pitching rotation is putting fear in their opponents. I love this. I love the World Baseball Classic. It's the step down of the World Cup, in my opinion. It's going to be great. Baseball is finally back, but I'm going to probably bet this game by game. So none of the futures really grab me because I just think the prices are absolutely disgusting.
Are there any players in particular that you'll be keeping an eye on in this World Baseball Classic?
Yes, yes. Murakami of the Chicago White Sox, who's on Japan. I'm very high on the White Sox this year. I talked about how I bet Venable to win AL Manager of the Year on Wednesday. I think it's just a great price. I got 50-1. I don't want to be on any futures of his because I'm very concerned of those red flags of he strikes out a ton. And he does have the power, which is awesome. And if it translates to the majors, it's going to be unbelievable. He's going to be my number one target to keep an eye on. I saw his MVP price was through the roof. Do I want to bet that for the World Baseball Classic? No, because I feel like it's going to be just a random name that no one saw coming. That's the number one guy. In Japan, like I said, I think it's going to be a really good team. And I think that's who the USA plays in the finale. So Murakami's got my eyes.
Colby, back to college hoops. Conference tournaments start on Monday. The Horizon is the first one up. Any value in terms of these, or just as a fan, what is the one bid league or what conference tournament are you most excited for?
You know, is it the homer in me? It's always the Big East. And reason being, DePaul has a chance. Here I go again, talking about my alma mater. DePaul has a chance today to maybe, come on, let me have my moment. This team's always sucked. Let me have my moment. They have a chance, I think, to have the 4 seed. Now, did I predict that before the season started? No. I think it's going to be real dangerous. I know it's just UConn and St. John's, but it's going to be real interesting to see if anyone, any dark horse comes out of that conference or at least makes an attempt to win the Big East Conference. But it's probably going to be St. John's or UConn. It's probably going to be UConn. And another one would probably be the MAC because everybody is on hate watch for Miami of Ohio. Sure, strength of schedule isn't great. And I thought they would have lost by now. But they're winning these games. You got to give them credit. I really hate seeing them not get any credit. I do this with college football, but I guess I'm being a hypocrite, being like, leave them alone. They can't control us. But it's the MAC. How great is their strength and schedule going to be? Even if they lose a game, which I doubt they do, they still deserve to be in because, God, they're the only perfect team right now. So that's my take. I think the MAC's going to be really fun to watch because they keep almost losing, but they don't.
Colby, thanks for the time. Good breakdown. We'll catch you down the road.
Have a good one, guys.
Good stuff. Thanks, there, Colby. From Colby Marchio at Colby M. Betts on Twitter. College hoop season, of course, as you know, is heating up right now. VSiN's offering a Hoops Mania special. Get VSiN Pro access from now through May 1st for just $29.99. If you're betting the tournament, this is a must. Real-time betting splits, daily best bets from VSiN experts. Sign up today, VSiN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Let's bring this thing home here on a Sunday morning. I'm so ready for next week's show. It's insane. Only because I will be in Vegas and at Circa doing my portion of the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. All right, a couple college basketball games to hit here, Will Hill. Some final thoughts on number 8 Purdue is at Ohio State. I'm on the DK right now. It is Purdue minus 5.5. The total in this one is at 150.5. Do we go as far, Will, as to say must win game for Ohio State?
Pretty close. Their resume is pretty thin. Only one quad one win, even on a soft bubble. They are on the outside looking into most of the bracket projections. So if you lose this and then you win a few in the conference tournament, yeah, you could make up for it and you could pull off some upsets and get some resume builders there. But I wouldn't argue. If you said this is a must-win game, I wouldn't argue. And you're home and you're getting points, so it would only be Ohio State for me. I ended up passing, but I could certainly understand the sentiment here for taking the Buckeyes in a desperation spot, getting the points.
And then number 13, Michigan State, are 2.5-point favorites heading to Indiana. Total is 144.5 in that one. That line just getting smaller and smaller. I know Colby Marchio, who was just with us, said he is on Indiana. Where's your lean today on this one, Will, if you even have one in this game?
I like Indiana. I bet Indiana plus the points. I talked about this last night when it was 3.5. I would still take it at the plus 2.5 here. And look, another team, they're home. They're desperate. They are on the inside looking out to most of the brackets. Again, talking about two bubble teams with Ohio State and Indiana. Indiana, and it speaks to just how soft and how weak this bubble is, that their resume is what it is. They lost to Northwestern the other night. They don't have the strongest resume, but they're still on the right side of the bubble to according to a lot of these projections here. But a good matchup. Michigan State will let you shoot the three ball. Indiana's going to shoot a lot of threes. I think at home they'll make them. So I will I'll take the home dog here, getting the points with Indiana.
Hey, you and I stumbled on this earlier, and the production team was all over it. I'd love to have a deeper Final Four discussion with you, because you know, we were looking at Florida and UConn relative to winning the NCAA tournament. Florida plus 900, UConn, I think 16-1. Those Final Four odds, though, are a lot more reasonable. And, you know, from a projection standpoint, I'm a lot of people are feeling Florida. I'm feeling UConn. I'll tell you what, UConn plus 320 to make the Final Four, that to me might be the best. I mean, best value on the board. I know that it could line up for Houston. Everybody is on Florida, but man, oh man, you the way Florida jumps out at you as plus 900 to maybe win the whole thing, that UConn plus 320 to go to the Final Four jumps out at me pretty hard.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the UConn plus 320. I think that's a good bet. And if it shapes up the way it's headed, the way we think it's going to shape up, Duke, Michigan, Arizona, lock them in, they're all ones. And then the battle for the one, the final one, UConn and Florida, whoever doesn't get it is possibly the first two, and they put them in the same bracket. So, I mean, it's really kind of irrelevant if you're UConn and you're the one and Florida's the two or vice versa, although, you know, the path is going to be a little different, but that's really splitting hairs. And that could set up an Elite Eight game where you have UConn versus Florida in a regional final, and boy, that would be a hell of a game, a rematch from last year, a battle of the past three champions, because UConn won two in a row, and then obviously Florida won it last year. If they set it up, and I think that would be the setup, the way things are headed, UConn versus Florida, man, that is a juicy, juicy Elite Eight game if that's what we get.
Yeah, I'm with you. And of course, in terms of the chalk on the Final Four, Michigan minus 165, Duke minus 155, Arizona minus 120. But man, that next, again, Florida at plus 175, you can't, I mean, you know, Houston's capable of being anybody. And here's the thing about Houston, they're a lot like these, again, the big programs, they've stacked seasons together. Since Kelvin Sampson has got there, there's been a standard. He's held them to it. They have recruited to it as well. I wish I felt better about Kansas, Will, at plus 500. I know they have the one guy that if he could drink some dadgum Pedialyte or eat a banana or something like that, they have the one guy who could be the massive difference maker in literally dragging a team on a run to a Final Four. And yet I see all the talent there with Kansas. And yet I just don't feel it coming together at this point. I hate that I'm going to, you know, the Kansas plus 500 with maybe the number one pick in the draft next year feels unbettable at this point in time.
Yeah, they are going to be a very puzzling team a couple of weeks from now when you're filling out your bracket, because his brilliant talent is very tantalizing, and they've had some really, you know, marquee wins. They won at home against Arizona without Peterson. They won at home against Houston the other night. But you know what? You don't get to play in that building. You don't get to play in Lawrence in the NCAA tournament, and they have a great home court advantage. But that home court advantage isn't going to be present in the tournament, and you just don't know about Peterson. Not only game to game, sometimes half to half. He's in the first half, he's out second half, you know, vice versa. It's a very hard team to wrap your arms around. Could see him getting picked off early. Could see him with their talent making a deep run. They will be a very confusing team here and an interesting team when the brackets come out.
How do you view the clusters of teams that go in from certain conferences right now? So like the SEC is going to get 11 this year. I don't think all 11 teams are great, but they're going to be the ones to make it in. Do you think there will or could be a conference that when we get to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament is exposed a little bit for maybe having a massive quantity of teams that make it in, but not a lot of teams that go on runs?
Not necessarily. I'll wait to see when the matchups come out. But if you do have that conviction on a conference, good or bad, it's not the worst idea to parlay either against them or with them. If you just say, you know what,
ooh,
I'm of the belief the SEC is massively overrated. You pick three or four games with the SEC involved and you parlay against them. And if you're right, you can really hit a nice payday, and it's correlated. And parlays, sometimes people look at it as sucker bets and don't do parlays. If there's correlation, and even when there's, especially when there's hitting correlation, if you're of the belief and you strike gold and you're right on one of these conferences, right or wrong, or positive or negative, I should say, you can really, you know, have a nice time. And that's something once the tournament starts to keep an eye on how these conferences are doing and bet accordingly, because there is some correlation there. Because for so long now, these teams only play their conferences. We see them at a conference in November, then early December. But from middle of December and especially New Year's on, it's mostly just in conference play, and you don't really get to gauge these teams against the other conferences.
And the one thing, Will, that you and I have talked about the past couple of weeks here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line is this probably won't be a sexy tournament when it comes to upsets. In fact, one of the teams that's on the spot, arguably Miami of Ohio, has more pressure on them to win their conference tournament than any kind of pressure they will have in the NCAA tournament, because if they don't win the MAC, they might not make the NCAA tournament. A different kind of pressure. Yet, I don't know if anybody is looking at Miami of Ohio, Will, and saying, boy, if they get there, they could really throw a monkey wrench into things. It's more about, will they make the tournament, especially if they don't win their own conference tournament?
Yeah, and I'll be fascinated to see if they get in, which I think they'll get in. I think if they lost the other night and then lost in the conference tournament, they would have been in for a very nervous Selection Sunday, if not a Selection Sunday that leaves them out. If they can get through unscathed, it would be hard to leave them out. And I just don't know if the committee wants the headache of, all right, this team went unbeaten, we're going to leave them out, we're going to get so much crap for this, let's just put them in to make everyone happy. I think there's an element of that to it. But yeah, they. I don't know if we're getting Cinderella this year. The NIL, the portal, it's really widened the gap between the haves and the have-nots.
Any best bets you want to leave the people with? I am on Denver in the NBA, -3.5, even though I got it at 2.5. And I do like Connor Zilich and Chase Elliott today to have top five finishes in the cup race.
Indiana +2.5 is the best bet for me. At home, bubble team. I think it's a good matchup for them. I think the Hoosiers kind of cement their spot in the tournament with a win today against Sparty.
Great stuff, friend. I will catch you next week from Circa. I am so excited to be at the home base. Great job by PJ and everybody. Keep it right here on VSiN. Up next, Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich. Then at 3 Eastern, Live Bet Sunday, tracking the live games and the best in-game betting angles. And tonight, Big Sweet Dustin Sweetelson closes it out, cashing out at 10 p.m. Everybody, enjoy your betting Sunday. We'll see you next week here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.